Medical Ministry, Section 17. Medical Missionary Work in the Great Cities. Christ's Labors in Cities and Towns. The Lord is speaking to His people at this time, saying, "Gain an entrance into the cities, and proclaim the truth in simplicity and in faith. The Holy Spirit will work through your efforts to impress hearts. Introduce no strange doctrine into your message, but speak the simple words of the gospel of Christ, which young and old can understand. The unlearned, as well as the educated, are to comprehend the truths of the third angel's message, and they must be taught in simplicity. If you would approach the people acceptably, humble your hearts before God and learn His ways. We shall gain much instruction for our work from a study of Christ's methods of labor and His manner of meeting the people. In the gospel story, we have the record of how He worked for all classes, and of how, as He labored in cities and towns, thousands were drawn to His side to hear His teaching. The words of the Master were clear and distinct, and were spoken in sympathy and tenderness. They carried with them the assurance that here was truth. It was the simplicity and earnestness with which Christ labored and spoke that drew so many to Him. The great teacher laid plans for His work. Study these plans. We find Him traveling from place to place, followed by crowds of eager listeners. When He could, He would lead them away from the crowded cities to the quiet of the country. Here He would pray with them and talk to them of eternal truths. The sympathy that Christ ever expressed for the physical needs of His hearers won from many a response to the truths He sought to teach. Was not the gospel message of deepest importance to that company of 5,000 people who for hours had followed Him and hung upon His words? Many had never before heard truths such as they listened to on that occasion. Yet Christ's desire to teach them spiritual truths did not make Him indifferent to their physical needs. Medical Evangelism for the Cities. Now is the opportune time to work the cities, for we must reach the people there. As a people, we have been in danger of centering too many important interests in one place. This is not good judgment nor wisdom. An interest is now to be created in the principal cities. Many small centers must be established, rather than a few large centers. Let missionaries be laboring two and two in different parts of our large cities. The workers in each city should frequently meet together for counsel and prayer, that they may have wisdom and grace to work together effectively and harmoniously. Let all be wide awake to make the most of every advantage. Our people must gird the armor on and establish centers in all the large cities. The agencies of Satan are active in the field, putting forth efforts to confuse the minds of men and to fill them with vain imaginations, that they may not become interested in the truth. I have endeavored to arouse our people to labor for the unworked portions of the great missionary field, yet but few seem to respond to the appeals of the Spirit of God. We do not realize the extent to which satanic agencies are at work in these large cities. The work of bringing the message of present truth before the people is becoming more and more difficult. It is essential that new and varied talents unite in the intelligent labor for the people. If the burden of these unworked cities rested upon the hearts of our people as it should, they would arouse to labor as they have not yet done for the souls that are perishing in sin. The message that I am bidden to bear to our people at this time is, work the cities without delay, for time is short. The Lord has kept this work before us for the last 20 years or more. A little has been done in a few places, but much more might be done. I am carrying a burden day and night, because so little is being accomplished to warn the inhabitants of our great centers of population of the judgments that will fall upon the transgressors of God's law. The training of workers. In every large city, there should be a corps of organized, well-disciplined workers. Not merely one or two, but scores should be set to work. But the perplexing question is yet unsolved: how they will be sustained. I have been shown that in our labor for the enlightenment of the people in the large cities, the work has not been as well organized or the methods of labor as efficient as in other churches that have not the great light we regard as so essential. Why is this? Because so many of our laborers have been those who love to preach, and many who were not thoroughly qualified to preach were set at work, and a large share of the labor has been put forth in preaching. More attention should be given to training and educating missionaries with a special reference to work in the cities. Each company of workers should be under the direction of a competent leader, and it should ever be kept before them that they are to be missionaries in the highest sense of the term. Such systematic labor, wisely conducted, would produce blessed results. Something has been done in this line, but too frequently the work has dwindled down and nothing permanent has been accomplished. There is need now of earnest labor. The young men who go forth in the employ of the General Conference are to understand that they are not merely to preach, but to minister, to act like men who are weighted with solemn responsibility to seek and to save that which is lost. It should not be the object of the laborer to present a large list of sermons he has preached, but what has he done in the work of saving souls, of training workers? This requires earnest labor and personal effort. It requires that the workers shall be often with God in earnest prayer, and that they seek wisdom through diligent searching of the Scriptures. Difficulties will increase. The importance of making our way in the great cities is still kept before me. For many years, the Lord has been urging upon us this duty, and yet we see but comparatively little accomplished in our great centers of population. If we do not take up this work in a determined manner, Satan will multiply difficulties which will not be easy to surmount. We are far behind in doing the work that should have been done in these long neglected cities. The work will now be more difficult than it would have been a few years ago. But if we take up the work in the name of the Lord, barriers will be broken down, and decided victories will be ours. In this work, physicians and gospel ministers are needed. We must press our petitions to the Lord and do our best, pressing forward with all the energy possible to make an opening in the large cities. Had we in the past worked after the Lord's plans, many lights would be shining brightly that are going out. No time to colonize. This is no time to colonize. From city to city, the work is to be carried quickly. The light that has been placed under a bushel is to be taken out and placed on a candlestick, that it may give forth light to all that are in the house. Thousands of people in our cities are left in darkness, and Satan is well pleased with the delay, for this delay gives him opportunity to work in these fields with men of influence to further his plans. Can we now depend upon our men in positions of responsibility to act humbly and nobly their part? Let the watchman arouse. Let no one continue to be indifferent to the situation. There should be a thorough awakening among the brethren and sisters in all our churches. For years, the work in the cities has been presented before me and has been urged upon our people. Instruction has been given to open new fields. There has sometimes been a jealous fear lest someone who wished to enter new fields should receive means from the people that they supposed was wanted for another work. Some in responsible positions have felt that nothing should be done without their personal knowledge and approval. Therefore, efficient workers have been sometimes delayed and hindered, and the carriage wheels of progress in entering new fields have been made to move heavily. In every large city, there should have been a strong force of workers laboring earnestly to warn the people. Had this been undertaken in humility and faith, Christ would have gone before the humble workers, and the salvation of God would have been revealed. Let companies now be quickly organized to go out two and two and labor in the Spirit of Christ, following His plans. Even though some Judas may introduce himself into the ranks of the workers, the Lord will care for the work. His angels will go before and prepare the way. Before this time, every large city should have heard the testing message and thousands should have been brought to a knowledge of the truth. Wake up the churches. Take the light from under the bushel. Our delay is Satan's opportunity. Where are the men who will work and study and agonize in prayer as did Christ? We are not to confine our efforts to a few places. If they shall persecute you in one city, flee ye to another. Let Christ's plan be followed. He was ever watching for opportunities to engage in personal labor, ever ready to interest and draw men to a study of the Scriptures. He labored patiently for men who had not an intelligent knowledge of what is truth. While we are not awake to the situation, and while much time is consumed in planning how to reach perishing souls, Satan is busy devising and blocking the way. In view of the many neglected cities from one end of the United States to another, I am free to say that too much labor has been put forth in the plants in a few favored localities. Let not so large an expenditure of means and of time as has been devoted to blank be given to other places, for it will be used as an evidence that we do not really believe that the end of all things is at hand. Satan knows how to make use of every inconsistency, and he will influence men to point at us and say, they do not believe the things they teach. A mission in every city. In every city there should be a city mission that would be a training school for workers. Many of our brethren must stand condemned in the sight of God because they have not done the very work that God would have them do. If our brethren will use their God-given ability to warn the cities, angels of God will surely go before them to make the impression upon the hearts of the people for whom they labor. The Lord has many thousands who have never bowed the knee to Baal. Let not our ministers and our physicians fail nor be discouraged. A mighty movement. There is no change in the messages that God has sent in the past. The work in the cities is the essential work for this time. When the cities are worked as God would have them, the result will be the setting in operation of a mighty movement such as we have not yet witnessed. God calls for self-sacrificing men converted to the truth to let their light shine forth in clear, distinct rays. As a people, we are not half awake to a sense of our necessities and to the times in which we live. Wake up the watchmen. Our first work should be to search our hearts and to become reconverted. We have no time to lose upon unimportant issues. Cooperation. In this effort in behalf of the cities, we greatly need the cooperation of all classes of laborers. Especially do we need the help that the physician can render as an evangelist. If ministers and physicians will plan to unite in an effort to reach the honest-hearted ones in our cities, the physicians as well as the ministers will be placed on vantage ground. As they labor in humility, God will open the way before them, and many will receive a saving knowledge of truth. Move forward. The principles of health reform are to be promulgated as a part of the work in these cities. The voice of the third angel's message is to be heard with power. Let the teachings of health reform be brought into every effort made to get the light of truth before the people. Let workers be selected who are qualified to teach the truth wisely in clear, simple lines. Let us not wait before beginning this work until all the way is made clear. Faith says, move forward. Christ says, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Go on, step by step, departing not from that spirit of sanctification through the truth which the presence of the Spirit of God and obedience to the truth will give. A parable of what should be. When Dr. Paulson showed me the location that had been secured for sanitarium work at Hinsdale, I was thoroughly pleased, for this place answered to the representations that had been given me of places that would be obtained by our people for sanitarium work outside of the large cities. Time will show that such properties as this can be used to far greater advantage than buildings in Chicago, for the wickedness of Chicago is as the wickedness of Sodom and Gomorrah. It was also represented to me that there were other places near Chicago, but away from the city, which the Lord would have His people secure. There are souls to be reached. The message must be proclaimed. This is the light that has been given to me. I have been given a representation of the preaching of the word of truth with clearness and power in many places where it has never yet been heard. The Lord would have the people warned, for a great work will be done in a short time. I have heard the word of God proclaimed in many localities outside the city of Chicago. There were many voices proclaiming the truth with great power. That which they proclaimed was not fanciful theories, but the warning message. While the solid truth of the Bible came from the lips of men who had no fanciful theories or misleading science to present, there were others who labored with all their power to bring in false theories regarding God and Christ. And miracles were wrought to deceive, if possible, the very elect. I heard the message proclaimed in power by men who had not been educated in blank. Among those who were engaged in the work were young men taken from the plow and from the fields, and sent forth to preach the truth as it is in Jesus. Unquestioning faith in the Lord God of heaven was imparted to those who were called and chosen. All this, said my instructor, is a parable of what should be and what will be. Rural outposts. For the present, some will be obliged to labor in Chicago, but these should be preparing working centers in rural districts from which to work the city. The Lord would have His people looking about them and securing humble, inexpensive places as centers for their work. And from time to time, larger places will come to their notice, which they will be able to secure at a surprisingly low price. Sanitariums and hygienic restaurants. God has declared that sanitariums and hygienic restaurants should be established for the purpose of making known to the world His law. The closing of our restaurants on the Sabbath is to be a witness that there is a people who will not, for worldly gain or to please people, disregard God's holy rest day. These restaurants are to be established in our cities to bring the truth before many who are engrossed in the business and pleasure of this world. Many of these are professed Christians, but are lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. These are to know that God has a people who fear Him and keep His commandments. They are to be taught how to choose and prepare the simple food that is best suited to nourish the body and preserve the health. Danger of missing the mark. There is danger in the establishment of restaurants of losing sight of the work that most needs to be done. There is danger of the workers losing sight of the work of soul-saving as they carry forward the business part of the enterprise. There is danger that the business part of the work will be allowed to crowd out the spiritual part. Some good is being done by the restaurant work. Men and women are being educated to dispense with meat and other injurious articles of diet. But who are being fed with the bread of life? Is the purpose of God being fulfilled if in this work there are no conversions? It is time that we called a halt, lest we spend our energies in the establishment of a work that does little to make ready a people for the coming of the Lord. The only object in the establishment of restaurants was to remove prejudice from the minds of men and women and win them to the truth. The same effort put forth in circulating our publications, in doing evangelistic work, would tell far more for the saving of souls. Personal work to be done. Our restaurant workers are not doing the personal work that they should do to bring the truth before those who come for meals. And in some respects, impressions are being made on the minds of the workers that are not favorable to a growth in grace. The food itself will not sanctify the souls of those who serve. Are the words being fulfilled? For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, so that ye were in samples to all that believe, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord in every place. This is the work that God has outlined before us. Is it done? Are there employed in our restaurants workers who have sufficient spiritual strength to stand against the temptations that they will meet in the cities? Let there be shown more of a desire to receive the Holy Spirit as an instructor, and less of a desire to carry forward in human wisdom a work involving so much. Our young men and young women are to be put to work where their capabilities will be used to the best account. They are to stand where they can carry on Christ's work of soul-saving. They should not be kept in a work in which they are continually on losing ground, a work in which no souls are brought to a knowledge of the truth. Usefulness determined by results. It is not the large number of meals served that brings glory to God. What does this avail if not one soul has been converted to gladden the hearts of the workers? The question was asked, what does all the work that has been done amount to? Has it had a sanctifying, hallowing influence upon the minds of the workers? Or has it been the means of bringing them into temptations that have destroyed their peace and hope? Let our ministers and physicians reason from cause to effect. Unless our restaurant work brings favorable spiritual results, let the world do their own serving of tables, and let the Lord's people take up a work in which their talents will be put out to the exchangers. The time has come for the Lord's people to be sure that they are engaged in a work that produces as well as consumes. Those who have united themselves with the church are to situate themselves in such a way that their spiritual power will not diminish, but increase. They are not to place themselves where they will have no opportunity to grow in grace. A sanitarium near New York. We need a sanitarium and a school in the vicinity of New York City, and the longer the delay in the securing of these, the more difficult it will become. It would be well to secure a place as a home for our mission workers outside of the city. It is of great importance that they have the advantages of pure water, free from all contamination. For this reason, it is often well to consider the advantages of locations among the hills. And there should be some land where fruit and vegetables might be raised for the benefit of the workers. Let it be a mission in as healthful a place as possible, and let there be connected with it a small sanitarium. A place in the city should also be secured where simple treatments might be administered. Such a home would be a welcome retreat for our workers, where they may be away from the bustle and confusion of the city. The exercise called for in climbing hills is often a great benefit to our ministers, physicians, or other workers who are in danger of failing to take sufficient exercise. Let such homes be secured in the neighborhood of several cities, and earnest, determined efforts be put forth by capable men to give in these cities the warning message that is to go to all the world. We have only touched, as it were, a few of the cities. Let men of sound judgment be appointed, not to publish abroad their intentions, but to search for such properties in the rural districts, in easy access to the cities, suitable for small training schools for workers, and where facilities may also be provided for treating the sick and weary souls who know not the truth. Look for such places just out from the large cities, where suitable buildings may be secured, either as gift from the owners or purchased at a reasonable price by the gifts of our people. Do not erect buildings in the noisy cities. Securing of buildings. In every city where the truth is proclaimed, churches are to be raised up. In some large cities, there must be churches in various parts of the city. In some places, meeting houses will be offered for sale at reasonable rates, which can be purchased advantageously. In some important places, there will be offered for sale properties that are especially suitable for sanitarium work. The advantages of these should be carefully considered. In order that some of these places may be secured for our work, it will be necessary carefully to husband the resources, no extravagant outlay being made in any one place. The very simplicity of the buildings that we use will be a lesson in harmony with the truths we have to present. For our sanitarium work, we must secure buildings whose appearance and arrangement will be a demonstration of health principles. Location of workers. It will be a great advantage to have our buildings in retired locations so far as possible. The healthfulness of the surroundings should be fully considered. Locations should be selected a little out from the noisy cities. Those who labor in the large cities need special advantages, that they may not be called to sacrifice life or health unnecessarily. I write these things because it has been presented to me as a matter of importance that our workers should, so far as possible, avoid everything that would imperil their health. We need to exercise the best of judgment in these matters. Feeble or aged men and women should not be sent to labor in unhealthful, crowded cities. Let them labor where their lives will not be needlessly sacrificed. Our brethren who bring the truth to the cities must not be obliged to imperil their health in the noise and bustle and confusion if retired places can be secured. Those who are engaged in the difficult and trying work in the cities should receive every encouragement possible. Let them not be subjected to unkind criticism from their brethren. We must have a care for the Lord's workers who are opening the light of truth to those who are in the darkness of error. We have a high standard presented before us. Every gospel minister should be a friend to the poor, the afflicted, and the oppressed among God's believing people. Christ was always the poor man's friend, and the interests of the poor need to be sacredly guarded. There has too often been a wonderful dearth of Christ's compassion and loving interest in the poor and afflicted. Love, sacred, refined love, is to be exercised in behalf of the poor and unfortunate. Redeeming the time. The terrible disasters that are befalling great cities ought to arouse us to intense activity in giving the warning message to the people in these congested centers of population while we still have an opportunity. The most favorable time for the presentation of our message in the cities has passed by. Sin and wickedness are rapidly increasing, and now we shall have to redeem the time by laboring all the more earnestly. Seek rural homes. To parents who are living in the cities, the Lord is sending the warning cry, "Gather your children into your own houses. Gather them away from those who are disregarding the commandments of God, who are teaching and practicing evil. Get out of the cities as fast as possible." Parents can secure small homes in the country with land for cultivation where they can have orchards and where they can raise vegetables and small fruits to take the place of flesh meat, which is so corrupting to the lifeblood coursing through the veins. On such places, the children will not be surrounded with the corrupting influences of city life. God will help His people to find such homes outside of the cities. Rural locations for institutions. As far as possible, our institutions should be located away from the cities. We must have workers for these institutions, and if they are located in the city, that means that families of our people must settle near them. But it is not God's will that His people shall settle in the cities, where there is constant turmoil and confusion. Their children should be spared this, for the whole system is demoralized by the hurry and rush and noise. The Lord desires His people to move into the country, where they can settle on the land and raise their own fruit and vegetables, and where their children can be brought in direct contact with the works of God in nature. Take your families away from the cities is my message. Work for the outcasts. Of late, 1899, a great interest has been aroused for the poor and outcast classes. A great work has been entered upon for the uplifting of the fallen and degraded. This in itself is a good work. We should ever have the Spirit of Christ, and we are to do the same class of work that He did for suffering humanity. The Lord has a work to be done for the outcasts. There is no question but that it is the duty of some to labor among them and try to save the souls that are perishing. This will have its place in connection with the proclamation of the third angel's message and the reception of Bible truth. But there is danger of loading down everyone with this class of work because of the intensity with which it is carried on. There is danger of leading men to center their energies in this line when God has called them to another work. The great question of our duty to humanity is a serious one, and much of the grace of God is needed in deciding how to work so as to accomplish the greatest amount of good. Not all are called to begin their work by laboring among the lowest classes. God does not require His workmen to obtain their education and training in order to devote themselves exclusively to these classes. The working of God is manifest in a way which will establish confidence that the work is of His devising, and that sound principles underlie every action. But I have had instruction from God that there is danger of planning for the outcasts in a way which will lead to spasmodic and excitable movements. These will produce no really beneficial results. A class will be encouraged to do a kind of work which will amount to the least in strengthening all parts of the work by harmonious action. The gospel invitation is to be given to the rich and the poor, the high and the low, and we must devise means for carrying the truth into new places and to all classes of people. The Lord bids us, "Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled." He says, "Begin in the highways, thoroughly work the highways. Prepare a company who, in unity with you, can go forth to do the very work that Christ did in seeking and saving the lost." Christ preached the gospel to the poor, but He did not confine His labors to this class. He worked for all who would hear His word, not only the publican and the outcasts, but the rich and cultivated Pharisee, the Jewish nobleman, the centurion, and the Roman ruler. This is the kind of work I have ever seen should be done. We are not to strain every spiritual sinew and nerve to work for the lowest classes and make that work the all and all. There are others whom we must bring to the Master, souls who need the truth, who are bearing responsibilities, and who will work with all their sanctified ability for the high places as well as for the low places. The work for the poorer classes has no limit. It can never be got through with, and it must be treated as a part of the great whole. To give our first attention to this work, while there are vast portions of the Lord's vineyard open to culture and yet untouched, is to begin in the wrong place. As the right arm is to the body, so is the medical missionary work to the third angel's message. But the right arm is not to become the whole body. The work of seeking the outcasts is important, but it is not to become the great burden of our mission. Safeguard the youth. Great care should be taken in working for the outcasts. Neither young men nor young women should be sent into the lowest places of our cities. The sight of the eyes and the hearing of the ears of young men and women should be kept from evil. There is much that the youth can do for the Master. If they will watch and pray and make God their trust, they will be prepared to do various kinds of excellent work under the supervision of experienced laborers. Difficulties overcome. In visions of the night, I was shown the difficulties that must be met in the work of warning the people in the cities. But in spite of difficulties and discouragements, efforts should be made to preach the truth to all classes. The Lord desires His people to arise and do their appointed work. The responsibility of warning the world rests not upon the ministry alone. The lay members of the church are to share in the work of soul-saving. By means of missionary visits and by a wise distribution of our literature, many who have never been warned may be reached. Let companies be organized to search for souls. Let the church members visit their neighbors and open to them the Scriptures. Some may be set to work in the hedges, and thus, by wise planning, the truth may be preached in all districts. With perseverance in this work, increasing aptitude for it will come, and many will see fruit of their labors in the salvation of souls. These converted ones will, in turn, teach others. Thus the seed will be sown in many places, and the truth be proclaimed to all.